Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I know you've been standing. Let's go quickly to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Amen. You know what that's saying? That's saying evolution is false. Amen. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I want to preach tonight. I've been praying, the Holy Ghost been dealing with me. I want to preach, "He had this testimony." Amen. Why don't you lift up your hands and let's pray right now that the Lord would speak to us tonight. God. You tell God how bad you need him right now. Oh God, we need you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. He had this testimony. Amen. Abel is the first mention as the faithful man in Hebrews chapter 11. Abel was the first martyr of humanity. First man that lost his life for a sacrifice committed unto God and the reward thereof. The Bible says that Abel was a keeper of sheep. He was the first shepherd recorded in our Bible. Abel was the first offerer of excellent sacrifices in a fallen world. Amen. Abel was the fourth man in the lineage of humanity. But you got to understand, he was the first man that lived for God after sin entered into the world. Yeah. Amen. He was the first to obtain witness that he was righteous. Yeah. Amen. The Bible says we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And he was the first man that overcame that. Amen. He was the first man born in sin, shapen in iniquity, that it was testified of him that he was righteous. And he was the first man mentioned in Hebrews 11 as a man of faith, and God testified of his gifts. Amen. I think we have enough evidence to conclude that Abel had a walk with God. Amen. The Bible goes on to say, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Amen. Everybody talks about, "Oh, Enoch, he was, you know, he was just taken. He was translated from earth to heaven, and what an experience that must have been." But the writer did not just skip straight to, "Oh, he was translated." He said, "No, before he was translated, he had a testimony, and that testimony was he was pleasing to God." Amen. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God." Everybody say, "He walked with God." He walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God." Everybody say, "He walked with God." He walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Amen. We finished in our reading tonight on verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, but that's not where it started. It started in Genesis chapter 6 verse 9 when it said, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. But that's not where it started. Amen. It started with a man that God reached into his world and said, you need to come out of some things that you're dealing with. You need to come out of some places that you're dwelling. You need to disconnect from some people that you're connected to. And then we come to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Amen. The first four mentions in what many people refer to as the Hall of Faith are four men. Three, it's explicitly stated that they walked with God. And one, the evidence is overwhelming and conclusive that he had a walk with God. Amen. I'm telling you, we can read Hebrews chapter 11 and we can fantasize and imagine all these greatnesses that these men did. But really, everything that was testified of them boiled down to one thing. They had a walk with God. Jesus. Hebrews 11 and 5. Let's go back. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Amen. There's four English words here. He had this testimony. Translated from a single Greek word. The word is martyreo, from which we would derive the word martyr, which is interesting. In the Greek here, the part of speech that this word carries in this scripture, it is a verb. It is an action. Amen. The tense, now we're going to have an English lesson for all the students that thought you got out of school at 3 o'clock. Amen. We're going to go somewhere with this. It's interesting to dive in to just how concise the word of God is. The tense of this word is the perfect tense, which when used in Greek, it is used to describe a completed action which produced results which are still in effect all the way up to the present. Amen. When you see something in the Bible that says that it is perfect tense, that means it is an action that took place, a completed action, and it's not an imagination. Amen. Because the mood here is an indicative mood, which presents the action or the event as something real or certain. In other words, it presents it as an objective fact. Amen. The writer of Hebrews said, I'm not making this up. This happened. This is a fact, amen. And it is a fact of something, it happened. It is a completed action. Everybody say completed action. Completed. A completed action at some time in the past, but it's not past tense. It did not end there. It's perfect tense, which means it happened then, but it was so powerful and produced such an effect that it has carried from then all the way until now. And results are still being reaped and effects are still being felt of the action that happened. It didn't just happen in the days of Enoch and then it ended when it was written in the book of Hebrews. But still today, when you read, he had this testimony. It's still happening today. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So the Bible says he had this testimony. Everybody say had. Had is the past tense of the word have. Okay? And it means to possess, own, or hold. God help me to preach this tonight. This testimony was not something that Enoch was grasping for or groping in the darkness for or wishing for or hoping for or dreaming about. The testimony referred to here is a testimony that it's not just something that Enoch lived his life and then one day somebody turned around and said, you know, I think he was pleasing to God. And so the writer of Hebrews begins to pen under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And as God is inspiring the words, God pulls Enoch over from heaven. And he said, hey, look what I'm having the writer write about you. And Enoch was like, I didn't know that I was pleasing to you. No. He had this testimony. Oh, God help us. It was no surprise to Enoch when the Holy Ghost inspired the writer of Hebrews to pen the words. He had this testimony that he pleased God. This was something that when Enoch was alive and he was walking with God, he got a hold of something inside of him. And he said, you know what? I'm going to be pleasing to God. I want you to understand tonight, I'm going to focus in depth on just a few words, but this isn't just wordplay that's happening tonight. You need to understand what's happening in this scripture, and it's that there was a man in a fallen world, in a place that was exceedingly wicked, that got a hold of something in God, and he said, you know what? I don't care what mama did. I don't care what daddy did. I don't care what brothers or sisters or cousins do. I'm going to get a hold of something with God. He possessed a testimony that he was pleasing to God. In the name of Jesus. God help us tonight. Amen. I feel a burden in the Holy Ghost. As I prayed today, the Lord began to deal with me to tell the people that were here tonight, you will not accidentally accomplish anything for God. Hey, we can shout about the revival that's happening, but it's not happening on accident. We can rejoice about the Holy Ghost that we feel, but he's not here on accident. Come on, I need somebody to get a hold of this tonight. I love to feel the presence of God. I love when the Holy Ghost is moving. I love when the gifts are operating, but it's not happening on accident. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be the church member that shows up at 7:10 or 7:12 after prayer meeting ends, and you walk in when they're starting the service and the Holy Ghost moves, and you may just think, wow, God is so good. Yeah, he is. And the reason you feel a fire is because somebody was here making a sacrifice. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on, you got to understand. Enoch didn't accidentally get translated. He didn't accidentally walk with God. He wasn't accidentally pleasing to God. He was intentional. He was on purpose. I'm going to live for God. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Did you know that you won't accidentally make it to heaven? Amen. You're not just going to stumble through the pearly gates. I have no idea how I ended up here. No, he preached it on Sunday morning. If the righteous scarcely make it in. Come on, it's an intentional thing to make it to heaven. It's an intentional thing to gain eternal life. God help us tonight. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. It's time for people to wake up and understand. You can't just live for God. Just, well, I may go to church, I may not go to church. I may pray, I may not pray. No, you have to possess your testimony. You're not going to accidentally make it all the way. Amen. Did you know you won't accidentally have a prayer life? There is nobody that has ever laid down on their pillow at night and said, man, I just somehow prayed an hour today. It's never happened. These things don't happen on accident. It takes purpose and intentionality. I'm going to have a prayer life. Did you know you won't accidentally have a ministry? Yeah. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God. Everybody say, cometh to God. Did you just accidentally stumble upon God? Oh. There he is. Whoa. No. He that cometh to God. Intentional direction. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't interrupt people's lives. He does. Amen. I'm reminded of the story of Brother Mayo when he's opening in a rock band. The curtains are just about to go. The crowd's screaming and a voice speaks to him. Is this all there is? God does that. But what happens from that moment to pastor in Cornerstone Church in Spokane, Washington doesn't happen on accident. Believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God, you're not just going to stumble into a reward. Where did that come from? No, he rewards them that diligently seek him. People that are on purpose about what they're doing. Oh, God. You come to God believing that he will reward you in your diligent seeking. It's not accidental. It's intentional. Amen. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force. God help. Well, my God, you ain't gonna believe this, Pastor. I accidentally got a blessing Sunday night. No. No. The kingdom allows aggression. It allows possessors to act and take. Amen. The aggressive take it by force. Well, Brother Motes, God has made me so many promises. That's beautiful. Did you know you're not going to get them on accident? Oh, God. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. God talking to the people of Israel. The promised land, the land of Canaan. Behold, I have set the land before you. What a promise. Abram, wherever your feet tread, I'm going to give it to you. Isaac, I'm going to give you the covenant, the promise of Abraham. Jacob, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed. Israel comes out, hundreds of thousands of men strong for the war. He said, I've set the promised land before you. Now you go in and possess it. Well, God, you made me a promise. Yeah. And then he strengthened you to possess it. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. It was a promise. He swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. The land is before you. There was 10 men that just... No, they're too tall. They're too strong. We're grasshoppers in our own sight. And that's how they see us too. You know, you get a glimpse in the account of Jericho. It's amazing. 10 faithless children of God said, we were grasshoppers to them. And when you finally get a glimpse of them through Rahab the harlot, she said, the heart of all this people has melted. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. It'll have you walking through a land that God has promised to you, looking at every enemy and every defense city and saying, I can't take what God has promised me, when in reality, there's people in that city that are bigger than you and stronger than you, and their knees are shaking every time they think about you. It's time to get some faith. God, I'm going to possess. In the name of Jesus, there's an interesting statement made by the 10. They said, this is a land that vomiteth out, that speweth out its inhabitants. And they were afraid of that. When the word of God had come to Abraham, it had come to Isaac, it had come to Jacob, it came to Moses. And he said, their iniquity is so full in that land that the earth is vomiting them out. And the children of God watched. My land. They watched as the sin of their enemies was destroying them. And they said, this land is going to destroy us. No. It's destroying them to make room for you. Jesus. The name of Jesus. Why don't we pray right now? I need clear direction from the Holy Ghost. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Amen. There are testimonies in this house. There are testimonies in the lives of individuals sitting on pews right now that you've caught glimpses of them. You have heard them in the distance. You have felt them when you prayed, and they feel like they are so far out of reach that you could never possess them. But I feel in the Holy Ghost right now that if you'll get a hold of the word that's going forth from this pulpit tonight, that there will be some possession of testimonies happen in this house. Come on, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now to tell somebody, you walked in thinking about some things and thinking about your life, and you're saying, this is a testimony that I could have, and God wants to change it in your mind and in your spirit to where when you leave, it's not something that you could have, but it's something you've taken possession of. I have this testimony. I feel some Holy Ghost boldness right now. Let's deal with some things that have been coming against you. I want to talk to the I'm called to crowd right now. I don't know what you're called to, but if you've ever felt like you were called to anything, I want to deal with some things right now. Calling, I'm called to, you insert the word after that. That is a past tense word. It is something that happened in a moment in your past. I can take you to the place where I was when I felt a call to preach. And I can also point out probably 50 other people in that same building that felt a call just like I did. Somehow, they never ended up with a ministry. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I'm not preaching tonight because I'm any better than any man that God ever called in that place. As a matter of fact, I probably epitomize the scripture better than anybody when Abraham told the children of Israel, God didn't call you because you were anything or anybody. You are the least of all people, but God loved you. Pardon the personal reference, and I need you to understand, I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. If anybody shouldn't have made it to this pulpit, it was me. But there are people that were called just like I was, and they never ended up with a ministry. The reason thereof is that calling does not secure a ministry. It is an opportunity. The night that God called you to do whatever He called you to do, He opened a door of opportunity. The scripture would say many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Calling does not secure ministry. It opens opportunity. And your effort, your intentionality after you're called. This. This may go over wrong with some people, but I'm gonna tell you, I'm not holding this microphone on accident. Amen. I didn't start preaching the night God called me to preach. I started prepping the night God called me to preach. I started praying the night God called me to preach. I started fasting the night God called me to preach. I started consecrating the night God called me to preach. And somewhere along the way, a ministry was secured. Not because I was called, but because God saw fit to choose. Many are called, few are chosen. Well, I felt called to preach. You may never preach. Amen. But if you were chosen to preach, you'll never get away from it. You may have been called to operate in the gifts. You may have been called to pastor. You may have been called to teach. You may have been called to be a prophet. You may have got knocked off your donkey on the way to Damascus. That doesn't secure a ministry. He didn't knock him off the horse and say, Saul, I've called you to preach. He said, Saul, why are you living like this? Hallelujah. Saul said, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. I'll tell you where the choosing started. God had already spoken to Ananias. He's a chosen vessel to bear my name before kings and Gentiles. But I'll tell you where it started for Saul. It started when he said, what would you have me to do? It didn't start when he knocked him off his horse. It started when he said, God, what do you want me to do? This wasn't where I was intending to go. The Holy Ghost is leading right now. I feel the spirit of prophecy in this house. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. When he said, what would you have me to do? Jesus didn't say, go preach Peak. He said, you go find Ananias. He's going to tell you what to do. You know where his ministry started? In submitting to a pastor. He's only mentioned once in the Bible or so, and you know, he wasn't a very smart man. And Jesus, do you know who I am? You know, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and he was the premier teacher, and I'm just not sure about how this man of God does. Let me tell you something. Throw everything you've learned out the window and learn to submit to a man of God, or you'll never, ever have a ministry. care if you feel like you're called to preach, or you're called to sing, or you're called to teach, or Sunday school, or outreach, or whatever it is. I don't care what you feel. The fact of the matter is, it has to start in submission to a spiritual authority, and that does not happen on accident. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You know what Verbal Bean said? He said, if I was the devil and I wanted to destroy a good saint of God, I'd tell them they were a preacher. Now, why would he say something like that? Because there's something that gets in the mind of a human when they feel like God has called them to elevation. And submission gets a whole lot more difficult. Make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, if you make sure your calling and your choosing is sure, ye shall never fall. I don't know how many times in the Bible it says you will never fall if you do such and such. I didn't look it up. But what a powerful statement. If you give diligent heed to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you're not going to fall. You're not going to fall. Amen. I need the help of the Holy Ghost right now. Do you know why you'll never fall if you make your calling and election sure? Because if you make your calling and election sure, you'll always know your place. God starts dealing with people, there's something that starts to rise up in them. We're all human. We're all human, and it's easy. I'm telling you, it's easy to sit on the pew and find the fault in the pulpit. It's easy. Oh, it's easy. I've been there, done that. And I've paid. Oh, I've paid. Shut up, I'm going to tell you.